2020 Fresh. Triple M, Dead Set Legends. Gus Wallen, Jude Bolden, Wendell Saylor. Saturday Fever.
Yes, this is the Dead Set Legends. We've just been talking off air.
There's got to be a camera in here.
Everyone listening would have loved that last minute or so. This is the Dead Set Legends. You are rattled. The AFL players rattled. Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Gus Warland here with Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor. And I've got to say, boys, the second hour of the show is going to be an absolute ripper, and I can't wait for Bruce McAvaney in a moment. But let's give love to some supporters of the show. Firstly, have you guys been so bored during isolation that you've discovered a hidden skill or new talent? Well, thanks to our mates at Ream, that talent could win up to 5K with Triple M's Quarantine Talent Team.
Absolutely, Gussie. All you need to do is head to the Triple M Win page and upload a video of your talent online and you could win. This is the last week of the competition, so be sure to check out all the details on the Triple M Win page and enter now.
It's Triple M's Quarantine Talent Team. Thanks to Ream, baby.
That is beautiful, mate. You are the finisher. And what about this, boys? Coming up next on the Dead Set Legends, I go one-on-one thanks to our mates at Swaddling's Timber and Hardware. Swaddling's Timber and Hardware have just come on as a supporter of the show. We very much appreciate it. Mark and all the boys down there. Now, here's a little tease of Bruce McAvaney. Who do you think he's talking about?
Oh, boy, what an athlete in full flight. He was quite awesome, to be truthful. So, I loved watching him play and observing the fact that he was just a powerhouse. He had the Michael Jordans about him, didn't he?
He certainly did, and we'll work out who he was talking about in a moment. It's more coming up on the Dead Set Legends, one-on-one with Bruce McAvaney.
Gus Warland, Jude Bolden, Wendell Saylor, the Triple M Dead Set Legends.
For a state-of-the-art showroom and on-site milling, visit Swaddling's Timber and Hardware. One-on-one.
Here we go.
With Gus Warland.
Yeah, thanks to Swaddling's Timber, this is my opportunity to sit down via Skype and really go in-depth with a superstar. We've had Gerds, Dell, Steve Smith, Andrew Bogut, Freddie Fittler, amongst many others. This week, I sat down with the most recognisable voice in sport.
Our next guest is famous for some of the greatest moments in television.
Away, Freeman out well.
He's been to more Olympics.
This is a famous victory.
Grand finals.
Bartel!
Melbourne Cups.
With 400 to go.
And unfortunately for him, the Australian Masters of Golf Championships.
Yes.
Than anyone else. He is the voice of Australian sport. Sorry, Raps.
Bruce, thinking about it.
From the commentary box and now going one-on-one with Gus, please welcome Bruce McAvaney.
Gus, what a lovely introduction. If only it were true. But anyway, good to talk, mate.
How are you travelling and how do you keep yourself energised?
Gus, I'm going well. I'm very fortunate. I'm sort of living the dream, to be honest. So, I'm 67 almost and I still feel pretty energetic.
What people love about you in particular, and Jude Bolton wanted me to ask you this, is that you and Dennis Committee have just seemed to have this, connection, something to behold.
Beautiful time of the evening, Dennis, isn't it? It's quite romantic, actually, this time of the day, isn't it?
Still young, Bruce.
He tells me that you used to stand up and watch the game, whereas Dennis used to be sitting down watching on the monitor. Is that right? Is that how you guys best work together?
He's 6'5" and I'm 5'7". Do you reckon that's a good idea? That had a bit to do. I couldn't see over the desk if I was sitting down. We were very different. And even the way, and how we called, I was more with binoculars. Dennis was more off the monitor. We were about as far apart as you could get, but we did click and we had a wonderful relationship. We still do. But I think Dennis is, he's certainly, for me, very special, to be truthful, because he looked after me and I hope I looked after him a little bit over all those years.
Jude Bolton, he's a member of our Dead Set Legends. You would have called him many times a dual premiership winner. We know him as this lovable rogue on the radio. What was he like to commentate on and what sort of player was Jude?
Courageous. Quite amazing, to be honest. I mean, he had no fear. Now, I guess he did, and that made him even more courageous. But I loved calling Jude. He was bash and crash. He played with his heart on his sleeve. He gave 100%, big-time player. And he sort of epitomised, Gus, that sort of, that bloods of the Sydney Swans that they talk about, that spirit. Also that, no dickhead policy that they've got. I mean, Jude's just a really good person, but always feel a lot of affection when I think about Jude, to be honest.
He's so handsome as well.
It drives me mad. I wasn't going to go there, but he's the full package, isn't he? So there you go. And Wendell, you mentioned Wendell because I did a bit of rugby, Gus, going back a long time ago, and when we didn't have the footy, and I got to know Wendell pretty well, and oh boy, what an athlete in full flight. He was a powerhouse, and a great guy to go with it as well. So yeah,
the only thing sad about Wendell is just lacks a little bit of self-confidence.
I knew where you were coming from. Poor chap. He's such a retired gentleman. But no. I guess, Gus, that's what made him so successful. He had the Michael Jordans about him, didn't he?
He sure did. Yeah, and they're just brilliant blokes to work with. I feel like I'm part of the team, like it's our dressing room, that studio. And
I feel the same way when I walk into a broadcast box, and I really love being part of a team. And if you can contribute to that team and help in any way, then it gives you a enormous satisfaction. I get exactly where you're coming from.
Now, you've called so many wonderful things, Bruce, and of course, all the way through this interview, we'll be putting little bits of your commentary in there. But Wendell had a question for you. If you could call one thing again, would it be Winx?
Winx takes the lead. 25, she's looking at. Draws a length and a half in front of Galo Shop and Happy Clapper. And she's the greatest, the best we've ever seen. Have a look at this. What a princess. No, she's a queen. She's Winx.
Carl Lewis.
Lewis not too bad. Stewart away well. Johnson in front. Lewis coming at him. Johnson's got a great lead. He's going to win. Ben wins. Johnson. Big and run. The time is 9:79.
Or Kathy.
Kathy lifting, goes up to Graham, takes the lead, looks a winner, draws away from Graham and Mary. This is a famous victory, a magnificent performance.
He knows me so well, doesn't he? can I have all three? Oh, to be honest, I might leave Kathy aside. It was far from the perfect call, but that was a nerve-wracking night. I'd like to just call Kathy, you know, in a minor race, but that final in Sydney was to behold, really. So an incredible experience. Carl Lewis, well, that was the first Olympics I went to, and he did the Jesse Owens in the Big Four, and then he went on to do the Al Lerter by winning the same event four times. So a remarkable athlete. Love watching him. Beautiful to watch and beautiful to call. And Winx, well, she just grew and grew in our hearts, didn't she? And we got to really know her and all the people around us. So Wendell, in answer to your question, I reckon all three or none, because they were nerve-wracking in a way, but at the same time, they've given me so much joy.
Well, that ends the first part of our questions with Bruce McAvaney, and all thanks to Swaddling's Timber and Hardware. We've got the set of six coming up.
Gus One-on-One. For Sydney's largest range of new and recycled timber, visit Swaddling's Timber and Hardware.
This is the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. Thanks to Swaddling's Timber, this week I had the pleasure of sitting down with the legendary Australian commentator Bruce McAvaney. It's time now to hit him with the big question.
Gus Wallens.
We have what I believe, and certainly the Dead Set Legends team believe, the greatest sports commentator in Australia's history with us, Bruce McAvaney. And, of course, you can watch all the horse racing on Channel 7. It's an absolute bumper weekend this weekend. And, of course, it's the only sport that's going on in Australia. So 7's coverage continues Saturday with the Goodwood Day at Mortfordville, National Hall of Fame Race Day at Flemington, and racing from Rose Hill Gardens, 11:30 a.m. live on 7.2 and 7+, and 12 p.m. live on Channel 7. So, Bruce, time for the set of six. Question number one, what are you afraid of?
My wife, Annie, for a birthday present, took me on the GAN last year. So we went on this beautiful train from Adelaide to Darwin, and then we went out to these buffalo plains where there were a lot of crocodiles, and I must say I did not sleep very well at night. So, yeah, that'll do, crocodiles. I've got this fear that I'm going to be trapped by one day and won't be able to get out. So there you go.
Question number two, what would you tell your 10-year-old self, Bruce?
I reckon that, Gus, practice the things I wasn't good at. I couldn't really kick on my left foot. I only practiced really the things that I felt comfortable with. And my first movement when batting should be back rather than forward. So you know where my priorities lay and were when I was 10 years of age.
Question number three, what is your sliding doors moment, that moment in your life where you think if it had gone the other way, it may not have worked out as well as it has?
Deciding to leave telecom, I was a clerk in the public service, got an opportunity to broadcast greyhound racing, trotting and horses on a radio station in South Australia, 5DN, and that was in about 1977, 1978. So my father said, don't give up that permanent job, even though he loves sport. And my mother said, take a chance. The rest is a bit of history. So Yeah, that was my big moment.
I think that's beautiful. And good on your mum back in the day to saying, go for it, son. I absolutely love that. Question number four, your biggest regret?
I'd like to be fluent in three or four or five languages, Italian, French. So, yeah, that's the one wish. If I had my time over again, I'd get cracking on that when I was pretty young.
Question number five, Bruce, who's your biggest hero and role model and why?
I reckon it's the broadcaster, Bill Collins. So he was a race caller in Melbourne. He had the record for the most number of Melbourne Cups until Greg Miles broke it quite recently. And I grew up in Adelaide listening to Bill Collins call, and I said to myself as a very young boy, I want to call the Melbourne Cup, because he was brilliant. He could do anything. But he had a voice and a rhythm that made me very excited. Dead heat in the Melbourne Cup in 1965, and you know, he called that incredible race with Bone Crusher races into equine immortality. So I wrote to Bill when I was 11 years of age from Adelaide. My mum helped me and said, dear Mr. Collins, what do I do to become a race caller? And he replied, so there you go. So I knew from a very young age, he was my inspiration.
Jude told me something last night when he knew that I was talking to you this morning. He said that he believes that you can pretty much go back to 400 out in the Melbourne Cup and call most of the Melbourne Cups. Is that true?
Well, it depends on how many drinks I've had, Gus. I can do a few of them, that's for sure. But it depends on how wound up I am.
Well, the last question, and thanks again so much for joining us on the Dead Set Legends. What's the best advice that you have ever received?
Probably, I'm going to go to Mum. Poor old Dad, neither of them are here. So Dad's getting the bad end of the stick and your Mum's getting the good end of the stick, but she'll be pleased. She did tell me one day that I should not drink beer at lunchtime, because I was living at home and I was calling the trots, I reckon, that night, and I was having a beer out the back, and she said, Bruce, you shouldn't be drinking at lunchtime. And you know what, Gus, it's stuck in my head. And even now, I rarely have a drink before 5 o'clock. So there you go.
That's perfect. Your catchphrase, I suppose, is special. And there was a mate of mine, when I told him I was talking to you, he said, I saw Bruce up in Byron Bay last year or a couple of years ago. And he goes, he was ordering. And I just wanted to say, Bruce, are you going to have the special?
It's a great way to introduce themselves to me, isn't it? No, no, I get it a lot. And I look, it's lovely. It really is. And then, you know, that arcs up something more, because I'm able to respond and then we have a laugh or a chat. They could say worse things to me, couldn't they, Gus? So it's always a nice greeting.
Thank you for giving your time to the Dead Set Legends this morning, Jude, Wendell and myself. Just so grateful. And all the best with your year coming up, your health, the Olympics next year, and long may it continue, Bruce, and thanks again.
A pleasure, Gus. I really enjoyed it, mate. All the best.
Another Sydney Saturday morning.
Oh, you ripper!
Now around the track for another lap.
Absolutely brilliant.
The Triple M Dead Set Legends.
Yeah, the Dead Set Legends, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Gus Wallen, Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor. What a treat that was to talk to Bruce McAvaney.
Gus, mate, everything, you know, when you hear someone, you know, it's like when, you know, Tony Gregg or Bill Lawrie, you know, you hear those guys speak, Richie Benner, like when you hear that voice, but I just love the way that the interaction, the respect that you had, you know, for Bruce McAvaney, but how he breaks it down, like, and I said this to you, Jude, sometimes, you know, when it does the Brownlows, sometimes, because he knows so much information, it sort of goes too long, but because it's Bruce, you let that go, but unbelievable.
I pinch myself Bruce every time we get an opportunity, you know, to be in the commentary box near him or anything.
Yeah.
He's been there and done it so many big moments, but he just gives so much of his time. Like, he's like old school gentleman.
Absolute champion. I rang him up and it was all on Skype and his wife picked up the phone and we were organising the video and she goes, oh, Bruce is just finishing off the dishes, he'll be here in a second. So I chatted to her for a couple of minutes, and then we were meant to chat for 10 minutes. That's what Channel 7 said. We're there for over 25, and that whole interview is there on the podcast, the bits we had to cut out. But let's talk now, boys, around what's the last sporting event that made you cry? 133353, give us a call. When is that moment where it's made you cry for joy, or it's made you cry because of sadness or because of a loss? For you, Jude, which one is it for you, champion?
It was hard to think about this because I'm not like you. You cry at the drop of a hat. Yeah. So, like, I do get emotional about, you know, different sporting moments, but this particular moment I can remember just falling down and breaking down.
There cannot be long to go. What the West Coast match. Eagles lead by a point. Can the Swans do it? The sequel would be just as good as the original.
trying to go back-to-back in 2006 and we lose by a point to the West Coast Eagles, and then you have to try and sit on the MCG in front of 100,000 and almost bury yourself there. And I just remember just sort of going, just how awful the feeling is. You just want to well up and erase yourself.
At that stage, do you actually go through your game and realise, oh, if I'd kicked that goal, I only kicked a point, I should have kicked a goal? Or is that a moment that you reflect on after?
I know exactly where I was when I had two shots on goal, missed them both. And, you know, there's just moments in the game, particularly in such a close loss, where you go, I could have done this, could have done that. Well, I didn't, and we don't get to celebrate.
You didn't, and it didn't.
Yeah, exactly.
What about you, Del?
Oh, look, I think for me, it's not so much an individual moment for me, but I suppose in 2000, you know, I grew up like loving athletics and stuff. I was at the Olympics in 2000, and for me, this moment.
Kathy Lefting goes up to Graham, takes the lead, looks a winner, draws away from Graham and Mary. This is a famous victory, a magnificent performance.
Yeah, I'll tell you why. It's because, you know, Nike took us there collectively as a group, but I grew up with Kathy Freeman, Ram Mackay and that, and we did athletics together. She was always the nicest, and she was always like three levels above. And I think she got scouted when she was 14, 15, went to Melbourne. You know, that's my moment. And because I knew the family, her brother, sadly, I remember when I retired, I got a phone call on the Mad Monday. He'd actually died in a car accident, Norman Freeman. Oh. So we'd always been really close to it. He was an unbelievable athlete, was at Nudgee College, and was probably one of the most talented, you know, people I've known. And, but just happy for someone else, but that family, Garth, the little brother. So for Kathy, the pressure on her, because other than that, I was going to say probably the 2003 World Cup because, you know, when England beat us, but I just think that moment, and it was tears of happiness. You're happy for people to be successful, but the pressure, you know, that we put on our athletes in general, but that individual race.
She wore the suit too.
Yeah, that's right.
There was pressure on her
for
that.
She got a call. They got a call. I think I told you guys this. The Nike big bosses were like fist pumping, and we're going like, what are you fist pumping for? And they go, she's going to wear the suit. And she comes out, you know, walks out in the suit. Imagine if she would have choked and they were, oh, you shouldn't have worn the suit.
You know, Olympic flames, everything. Like that
Bruce McAvaney just said it wasn't one of his best calls. In fact, he'd love to recall that game, magic moment. But Raylene Boyle, at the end of it, just said, what a relief.
That's what I mean.
We don't hear that enough, but it was about 10 seconds after the finish line. What a relief, and that's what everyone felt. Give us a call right now on 133353. What is that last sporting moment that made you cry?
Another Sydney Saturday morning.
Oh, you ripper.
Now around the track for another lap.
Absolutely brilliant.
The Triple M Dead Set Legends.
Yeah, the Dead Set Legends, Gus Wallen, Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor. Get hold of the show anytime on 133353 and a full board of calls talking about this. What's the last sporting moment that made you cry? Del was Kathy Freeman in 2000 and plenty would agree with you there and back. Of course, in 2006, the Swannies trying to go back to back. That story of you losing by a point, Jude, and just sitting on the MCG with 100,000 people.
Awful.
Thinking back at those two goals you were pretty much straight in front and you missed that robbed the Swannies.
Oh, yeah, victory. Just kick me while I'm down.
You're right, mate. You're two-time premiership player, mate. That's
exactly,
all right.
Mate. Wayne from Greenacre, what's the moment that made you cry, brother?
Our fellas, I'm a Manly supporter.
Mm-hmm.
And the 2008 grand final with Manly and Melbourne, when Steve Menzies went up the dressing room, we thought we'd seen the last of him in his last game. He comes back on, he scores that try.
Yes.
In his last game, and I was at the Travel Lodge. I'm a Manly member of Manly Millies Club, so I stay at the Travel Lodge when we have grand final.
Yeah.
I was up in the room by myself, and I just couldn't help myself. Broke down.
Beautiful, Wayne.
That's awesome.
He would have been walking past when all the Manly boys were on that rooftop bar having a drink and they'd celebrate.
Oh, yeah, the Beaver. Who doesn't love?
We love a bit. Yeah, we love the Beaver. What about Phil in Chiswick? G'day, Phil.
Hey, how you going?
Good, thanks. What made you cry, brother?
Mate, being a diehard Parramatta supporter, 2001 grand final, I can't go past that. Broke every record under the sun, to go out the way we did with heartbreaking.
Was it 24-0 at halftime, and you came back and only lost by 6 in the end? But...
The thing was, mate, Joey Johns was on. I think he got the
targeted
Clive Churchill,
Taylor, didn't he?
Yeah,
Jason
but he got
Taylor.
The Clive Churchill. But let me tell you, Ben Kennedy. He had some sort of game.
What a player he was. What about John in Parramatta? What was that moment that made you cry, John?
Mine was tears of joy, boys. The 1969 Balmain South Sydney Grand Final.
Oh, yeah. 96.
Right back.
I was a Balmain boy at 18 and never seen a winner grand final. And then they came over the top of South when everyone wrote them off.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Well done, John. And thanks to all the calls we can get, couldn't Good get to. Guys. My one, boys, yeah, is last year's grand final.
Now with Bateman. Bateman in and away. He's able to pass. It's gone to Hodgson. He tries to kick it. Cronk falls on it. That will be it. They've defended their title. They are still the champions.
Mm. Do you think there's an asterisk on that grand final because of the refereeing blunder? Like, I'm just, you know, you're both Rooster supporters.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I just.
What is wrong with you, mate? Dead set legends.
Another Sydney Saturday morning. Now around the track for another lap.
Absolutely brilliant.
The Triple M Dead Set Legends.
Well, the Dead Set Legends, and we have got the flog or not section now, boys, and we're going back. The first one's going to be The Last Dance, Scottie Pippen. Well, Scotty, have a listen.
So come the bench, and I have this sequence that Tony has run before, and he scored before on it. The way I set this up, and then Scotty was angry about it.
I felt like it was an insult. I was the most dangerous guy on our team.
And so Jim Clemens came over and said, Scotty's not going in.
Pip knows better than that. If I had a chance to do it over again, I probably wouldn't change it.
Yeah, that's the thing for me. So Scottie Pippen refusing to take the court in the final seconds of a playoff game because he wasn't going to be the guy taking the potential match-winning shot. And then he says, all those years later, you know what, I've thought about it and I'd still not take the court.
Yeah.
Flog or not.
What the? If he's a flog for that. Look, as a player, he was great. He was underpaid. But
you're wearing a hat with his name on it now.
Yeah, I still love him. You're allowed to make a mistake. Yes. I've made enough of them. But that moment, that is such a selfish play in that team environment because Jordan was over at the White Sox at the time, so he was the go-to man. So he loved that responsibility. You know, he played a different game to Jordan, obviously. But look, mate, you're the leader of the team. I just can't believe that he in that moment he'd go, no, I'm
but
not.
Then years later, say that
it cuts the core of team sport. That's though. It. Like, yeah. When you think you're bigger than the team, yeah. And I love the fact that Phil Jackson goes, yeah. F him, yeah. Leave him on the bench.
Like, you're exactly right. No, and then the guy that takes the shot and wins the game.
How do you pronounce his name again? Cat, how do you pronounce his name now?
Kukoc.
Yeah.
Kukoc.
Yeah.
Okay. We're only going to get in trouble if we keep talking about this. Okay. Dave Warner for his disgraceful antics on TikTok. Now,
we can take some
218 million people have viewed Davey Warner's stuff in 3 weeks.
It's flog efforts. Flog efforts.
You're calling him a flog? Jude Bolton, wow. What about you, Wendell?
Davey's a mate of mine. No. I've enjoyed him. I've enjoyed him. Good on you, Davey. Just do
Wendell,
what works for you,
flog,
mate.
Wendell, flog.
Yeah, Wendell Saylor, flog or not. Yeah. Flog.
Good on you, Davey.
You are a liar.
Entertaining.
Wow.
And Chris Gale, he's got one of the... He's doing really
good. Chris Gale's different gravy, mate.
He's the world
universal
boss.
What do you mean?
Boss.
Mate, Dave Warner's one of the best cricketers in the world.
I know, but, you know, the way that he moves, brother.
Yeah, I know.
Come on. Okay, yeah. Bryce Cartwright. Handling of the flu shot saga that threatened to derail the NRL's restart of the season. Is he a flog or not?
Oh, look, if we're holding up the season for one person, we had the crack last week. Oh, this is flog effort. Just move on.
Understand you. Look at you over there, Mr. Spett, just nestling in on your fence. Yeah, Mr.
Right
Fence Sitter. Are you going to, yes or no, flog or not?
Look, I don't know what...
It's flog or not. It's a one-word answer.
I'm on the fence.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. There's a massive shock.
Yeah.
He's a flog. And he's a flog. Why would we care about Bryce Cartwright anyway?
Because I think...
Don't play without him. He's with the Titans.
He had a bad reaction. There's more to the story. I think he had a bad reaction like in 2012 or something. So I can understand now. That information wasn't privy until the last couple of days. I didn't know. But before that, I thought he was a flog for not getting it.
Okay, but now you're saying not because you've got more information.
Yes.
Okay, what about the Adelaide Crows? Flogs or not, allowing 14 players to go to the Barossa Valley to train when you're only allowed in South Australia to have two.
They thought they were above the league. They thought they were above government regulations. It was flog effort.
They're flogs.
Yes. You all do, you AFL blokes. So, yeah, they're flogs.
Oh, yeah, they jump in, don't they?
You're not on the fence here. Look at you.
Plus, if I'm going to the Barossa Valley, mate, I'm going to a winery. I know you can't at the moment, but that's all I know the Barossa Valley for. Okay. Don't go there and train.
One last chance. Dave Warner's TikTok. Flog or not?
No, he's not.
Oh!
Unbelievable.
Another Sydney Saturday morning.
Oh, you ripper!
Now around the track for another lap.
Absolutely brilliant.
The Triple M Dead Set Legends.
Yeah, the Dead Set Legends on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Gus Warland, Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor. And thanks so much to all the callers we got through today and all the ones we couldn't get through. And we really appreciate your support. And don't forget to subscribe to the Dead Set Legends podcast on the Triple M app to listen anytime at triplem.com.au. Now, there's something that you've been doing something during the break, Jude Bolton.
Oh, he's always doing something, Jude.
You're always throwing someone under the bus. Yeah. Who's it this time?
Usually me.
Well, we've had some incredible guests today, and I'm really pleased to say that, you know, we were able to get Bruce McAvaney on, we've had Matt White, we've talked about Harbhajan Singh.
Yeah.
But we did actually have a guest early on, and I think we caught Elmer Fudd. Can we just replay what? That, Cat?
The NRL make the right decision changing mid-season to one WEF a week.
One WEF a week? Can we play that again, please, Kat?
The NRL make the right decision changing mid-season to one WEF a week.
You Wesley Webbit? What? Gus, what? I know you've been working hard. I know I've got you for life. Season. I know it's been
it's
busy.
Wabbit.
But you Wesley Webbit, what was going on with the WEF a weeks?
I remember doing it at the time and thought, I got away with that.
I got away with that.
Jude hits Cat and Cat. Yep, I'm going to get that later on. Wow. Okay, let's talk about that just briefly, though, because we did chat about it earlier for people who have joined in a little bit later.
What's your thoughts on one WEF a week?
Yeah, I know. It's very topical, refereeing at the moment. So, look, for me personally, if you want to get back to one referee, I was happy for him to do it in the off-season. Can't go two rounds into it and, you know, whether it's cost-cutting and just say it's going to make it. Look, you just can't do it. I know they've done it, but it goes against everything that you do in and around a competition. You can't start a comp and then change the rules. It's like playing cricket or backyard cricket, and then you've got a set of rules and you go, no, this is what we're going to do now.
Yeah,
you
know? it's like whoever's the owner's backyard goes, oh, you know what, it's now no longer six and out.
And just making it up as they go along.
It's Volandi's house.
Yeah, if you don't like it, you take your bat and your ball and you go home.
Yeah, I think Volandi's been absolutely fantastic.
I think
they've got to bite the bullet. They've made all these changes. They've got to say back to zero competition points.
Yep.
Anyway, that's
it. I agree. I'm all for it. Look, I'm a Broncos legend, and you know they're a three-time premiership player, and I agree. Like, you know, they lose their 4 points, and they go back to square.
It's the Dead Set Legend. See you next week.